I walk in and my sister's not there. Her door is open, her lights are on, her bed's undone. Everything was horrible, and I felt it.
It's very not like her after 8 years of service in the Army to just disappear.
Did you think they'd find her?
Yes, I did.
Why am I crying? Because I'm afraid. I don't feel safe.
She was in danger.
You got a roommate, you got a boyfriend who she may be about to dump. You got an ex-boyfriend who's suddenly back in her life.
There were a number of potential suspects.
He Google mapped that park, then panned out.
This is way off the beaten path. We didn't know what to think.
I'm freaking out.
One of the detectives said, "You're not going to believe this."
Orange County, California. On TV, it's a place of sun, fun, and privilege. It's where the Real Housewives first aired their dirty laundry.
What is wrong?
Nothing's wrong with me, it's you.
Around here, you get the sense that everyone's rich and white and lives in a mansion with a view of the Pacific. But step back from the coast, and you'll see the Orange County that isn't on TV. Not as wealthy. Not as white, full of those who came here from somewhere else, chasing a better life, and finding it in places like Santa Ana, a mostly working-class immigrant community in the shadow of Disneyland. It's the part of the OC where people know that to survive, they'll have to work hard. Maribel Ramos arrived here as a baby, leaving Mexico behind. She would not only survive here, but thrive. To tell you the truth, this should be the story of a woman who worked hard to change her life, and in doing so, carved a path for others to follow.
Hello? Hi, Orange Police.
But this story is going to end differently.
Why are you crying?
Because I'm afraid.
There are some parts of life that hard work just can't fix.
I'm just scared. I'm just, calling so that you guys know that if something happens, I did it because I was trying to defend myself.
Some things that are beyond our control.
All I'm trying to say is that I'm warning. Honestly, I will fight for my life, and I swear I will kill him.
All of this should have never reached that point of no return. So maybe it's a story of simple bad luck, of two lives that should never have come together.
Tell me about growing up with Maribel. What was she like?
Troublemaker. Mom wanted her to stay in home, and she wanted to go play baseball. And
tomboy?
Yes, yes.
Her sister Lucy says tomboy Maribel Ramos also had a spark.
I mean, she'd come in and immediately, introduce herself to everybody and
make friends, and people were drawn to her. She's easy to talk to.
You saw boys interested in her?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
From an early age?
From an early age.
And that never ended, did it?
No.
Little sister Lucy remembers how Maribel was also in charge of watching out for her, while their single mother often worked two jobs to make ends meet.
You were how much younger?
7 years younger.
A lot of girls wouldn't want their little sister tagging
along. No, she didn't want to, but she had to.
Yet even as a child, Maribel figured out that a different world existed. And she wanted to live there.
Oh, she knew at a young age that there was a lot more to life than what we had around us. There's things you can do and go to school and have opportunities and live in a nicer house.
She saw all of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Maribel Ramos knew she'd have to work hard to get what and where she wanted. After high school, she worked in security at Kmart and hatched a long-term plan to become a cop. But she'd need a college degree, and that meant money. So Maribel Ramos became Private First Class Ramos. She joined the Army hoping to use the GI Bill. Her first day was August 8th, 2001. And just 34 days later, the whole world changed.
We all sort of recoiled in horror, but you probably also thought, that's going to affect my sister.
Yes. I turn on the TV and the towers are crumbling. first thing I thought was, oh my gosh, my sister's going to war. How do you wrap your mind around that?
Lucy worried. Their mother worried. But Maribel was like a rock.
What did Maribel say about going overseas?
She didn't express her feelings about it. She just said, well, this is what's happening, sister. We need to talk to mom.
Maribel went to war in Iraq.
What was it like to see her in uniform?
It was pretty amazing.
Giselle Sendejas is Lucy's daughter, Maribel's niece.
I saw her as like a really brave, strong soldier. Sometimes I wouldn't even see her as my aunt. I was just like, whoa, you're going out there like to save everybody.
You're proud of her?
Yeah.
Maribel learned to jump out of airplanes, and she manned the guns for armed convoys. She saw more than her share of combat. She also made sergeant. And when her tour in Iraq ended, she re-enlisted for another. She seemed fearless.
She could very easily have become a casualty.
Yes, and other people did die, other friends of hers.
In 2009, after two tours in Iraq, Maribel left the Army and set part two of her plan into action, enrolling in college. But adjusting back to civilian life wasn't as easy as Maribel had expected. Like a lot of war veterans, she suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD.
She'd seen some terrible things. Did she ever talk about that?
Not with me.
Instead, she focused on school, work, and family, especially her niece Giselle.
She kind of adopted you as this project.
Yeah.
Now, why did she do that?
I think it was because she wanted me to have the best.
As Giselle grew older, the self-improvement message sometimes came complete with push-ups. After all, Maribel was all Army.
When I would get in trouble, she would make me do exercise in order to, like, work off the punishment.
And all this time, Maribel was hammering away at Giselle. You're going to finish school.
Oh, yes.
You're going to study hard.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a career.
Yes. This is what you're going to do, mija. And she would tell her. Okay, Giselle? Yes, Tia.
Maribel got a dog and rented a two-bedroom apartment in the city of Orange, which she shared with a roommate, a quiet chemist named Casey Joy, who also had a dog.
I thought it was a perfect match. I'm like, he has a dog, she has a dog. He seems quiet, you know. He's not going to have all these people coming over.
By May 2013, everything seemed great. Maribel was leading by example, finishing up her degree in criminal justice at Cal State Fullerton. Giselle was following in her strong footsteps.
And she was dropping off money at my house because I had gotten good grades. And she had just got her hair done, dyed, and styled because for her graduation.
She looked great.
Yeah.
And she was happy.
Yeah, she was.
And that's why it made no sense when, just days later, Maribel Ramos, soldier, student, loving aunt, simply disappeared. What had happened to Maribel Ramos?
I'm freaking out. Her door is open, her lights are on, her bed's undone. Everything was horrible, and I felt it.
The mystery was about to deepen.
Nobody'd heard from her.
Nobody.
May 3rd, 2013 was a Friday, a day that should have been an easy day for Maribel Ramos. School was nearly over. Graduation was so close. But that morning, things weren't right.
I got a text from Casey at 10 a.m., and he said, your sister didn't come home.
They'd been roommates for more than a year now. Casey felt protective of Maribel. He told Lucy he'd already called police to report her missing.
Orange Police Dispatcher Rose.
Oh, this is not an emergency, and I have a roommate. She's 36 years old, and she didn't come home last night.
So what I did is I texted her at 11, and I said, Happy Friday, because we usually text each other anyways. That was my way of connecting, and she didn't text me back.
Unusual?
Yes.
Lucy still wasn't worried. She knew her combat-hardened sister could take care of herself. But then evening came, and for Maribel, Friday night was softball night. She loved to play and never missed a game. But this Friday night, she didn't show. Now Lucy's phone was ringing, Maribel's teammates on the line.
They told me, go to the house, the police are there, do not take Giselle. I'm freaking out, and I walk in and my sister's not there. Her door is open, her lights are on, her bed's undone. My head started spinning. Everything was horrible, and I felt it.
Detective Joey Ramirez with the Orange Police Department got the call that evening, and he also had a bad feeling about everything.
It sounds like you were taking this pretty seriously from the get-go.
Absolutely.
Why couldn't she just be off by herself or with some other friends, and maybe she lost her phone or forgot to call?
That was our hope, that she was just missing and that she'd come walking through the door, but the family and friends had expressed that she was very responsible.
And nobody'd heard from her?
Nobody.
So Ramirez and his team went into action. They quickly figured out that if she left on her own accord, it didn't look like Maribel had planned to be out long.
She left her car at home.
Her car was there. Her keys were gone. Her phone was gone.
But her toothbrush was there. So was her big purse she used when she had a lot to carry. KC returned home hours after police first got there. He again told the cops what he'd told them that morning, that Maribel was missing. Lucy and the softball team went to the police station, hoping for answers. But morning came, and there weren't any. So, channeling her big sister, Lucy decided to stop waiting and make her own luck.
I woke up on Saturday and I thought, wow, this is seriously happening. So I posted a picture of her on Facebook and it was immediate. People went into action.
Friends from the university got together, family members, her roommate. Lots of people who Maribel had touched wanted to help. They hung flyers in English and Spanish. They reached out to reporters.
It's very not like her after 8 years of service in the Army to just disappear.
Unusual thing was being next day, Friday morning, she was not here.
I helped my mom pass out flyers around school, pretty much anything I could do.
Did you think they'd find her?
Yes, I did.
Giselle was 14 at the time, but Detective Ramirez, who's been a cop for more years than Giselle's been alive, was not as hopeful.
She's not using her cell phone. She's not taking any money out. No one's heard from her. When you've picked up no trace of her after a couple of days, you still think you're looking for a living person?
The percentages are starting to drop, not in our favor.
Because by then you've called all the hospitals.
All hospitals, jails.
There's an alert out that any police officer, what, in Southern California sees her?
Correct. And the media was also helping.
And nothing.
Nothing.
No Maribel on security tape from any nearby store. Police checked all of them. They found only this image from the security camera outside the manager's office for her apartment complex. It's Maribel paying the rent. It's May 2nd at 8:18 p.m., the night before anyone realized she had disappeared. Maribel seems to be alone. So what the cops needed to do was talk to everyone who was anyone in Maribel's life. Turns out there were a lot of people they suddenly needed to get to know, including a current boyfriend, an ex-boyfriend, and someone Maribel had just met, a guy she'd made a date with online, a guy whose name Maribel had apparently kept completely to herself. The men in Maribel's life suddenly under scrutiny.
You know, you're not under arrest, anything like that.
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
And that haunting phone call.
I'm just scared.
Something had happened to make her pretty scared.
Yes.
There's nothing to say what that was.
Right.
This is the city of Orange, California, in the county of Orange, California. Much of it is a small town stuck in time. There's a university, a zoo, cute local businesses. and a police department that doesn't have to deal with a lot of violent crime. After all, the happiest place on earth is just down the street. But in May 2013, Detective Joey Ramirez was far from happy. He had a lot of ground to cover and a strong sense that time was against him as he tried to figure out what had happened to Maribel Ramos.
She just vanished.
Yes.
How often does that kind of thing happen?
It doesn't happen often.
Ramirez started by investigating the men in Maribel's life. It turned out there were a few of them.
Did you know she was doing all that online dating? Did she talk about that?
Yeah, she did.
Maribel sometimes met guys through a website called Plenty of Fish. That's how she found Paul Lopez. They'd been dating for a few months, and Paul had even joined her weekly softball game. Lopez was the last person Maribel talked to on the phone. Now police wanted to talk to him.
You know, you're not under arrest, anything like that.
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
Ramirez sat across from Paul and asked about his relationship with Maribel.
Nothing's been, like, exclusive. It's just been, you know, dating.
Okay. Yeah. You date other people, too?
Me, yeah.
Okay. You don't know if she dates other people or not?
I don't ask, don't tell.
And he asked Lopez where he was on the night Maribel disappeared.
Did you come into Orange at all on Thursday?
No.
Police also had to consider this. Maribel had told Lucy that things weren't working out with Paul Lopez.
She wasn't a match with Paul, so she was online talking to people.
It wasn't clear if Paul knew, even as they kept dating, that Maribel was back on Plenty of Fish and had met a new man. He was a photographer who'd worked a lot with the military. It was a connection for both of them.
How did she describe that guy?
She said, I met someone. He's very interesting. We have a lot in common.
And you thought what? Good?
I thought great.
They planned a date for Cinco de Mayo. But 2 days before that date was to happen, Maribel vanished. So police talked to that photographer and made a recording of the conversation.
You're saying you never actually met her in person?
No.
So he said, anyway. There was also an ex-boyfriend who'd been calling. Police needed to check him out. And there was this lead.
There was a person at Cal State Fullerton that was in the Veterans Association with her that had given her a bad feeling. He may have wanted to pursue some sort of dating relationship.
But it gave her a bad feeling how?
She wasn't interested in him, and she didn't give him any attention yet. And he didn't go away.
So he made her feel uncomfortable.
Correct.
And by now, Detective Ramirez had learned something else. Just a little over a week before she vanished, Maribel Ramos had called 911.
Hi, Orange Police. Hi, it's not an emergency, but I just, is it recording?
Is there a what?
Is this conversation recording?
Yes, every conversation is recorded.
Maribel wanted it on the record. She wanted police to know that she was very afraid of someone.
I'm just, like, calling so that you guys know that if something happens, I did it because I was trying to defend myself.
She might have been afraid, but this army strong woman who'd always taken care of herself feared she might be the one putting the hurt on her attacker.
All I'm trying to say is that I'm warning. Honestly, I will fight for my life, and I swear I will kill him.
Something had happened to make her pretty scared.
Yes.
There's nothing on the call to say what that was.
Right.
What was she afraid of? Not clear. Who was she afraid of? That was another story entirely. Another man in Maribel's life sits down with police, and he seems eager to help with the case.
So you were doing your own surveillance?
Yes.
Did her roommate know something investigators didn't? By now, posters blanketed the city of Orange. Maribel Ramos was missing, and her family was frantic.
As soon as I got a call that she didn't show up to her baseball game, I got the worst feeling in the world.
Putting himself out there with all the rest was Maribel's roommate, Casey Joy.
She's my only family I have. She's my best friend, and I need her to come back, that's all.
KC had moved from Tennessee to Southern California for a job. He had no family and few friends here. So he turned to Maribel, and she was happy to include him. She even arranged for KC to tutor her niece in math.
He seemed nice, respectful. He liked to be involved with the family and my aunt.
He didn't have a family of his own, so he kind of attached himself to yours.
Yeah.
But they weren't boyfriend and girlfriend.
No.
Even so, in photos, Maribel and KC seemed to be having a great time. They even went on a cruise together. Soon, police would be talking with KC Joy.
You want to pick up a business card, sir?
Yeah.
Because I like to keep track of names straight.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The formality's over. Detective Ramirez started asking about Maribel.
As you know, right now, there's some people, some family and friends that are worried about Maribel, your roommate.
I'm also a friend, and I care about her very much.
But he said he had no idea what happened to her.
So when was the last time that you saw her?
About 9 p.m. That's when we talked, about 9 o'clock, then I went out.
That was Thursday night, May 2nd. The next night, when the cops were called to Maribel's house, KC wasn't there. He explained he'd been so worried that he did his own investigation, watching his own front door from his car parked out front.
Or those movies and detective movies, somebody always comes back to their crime scene or whatever. I want to see who's going to knock on my door. So I just parked the car in the front. I took my notebook, had a binocular in there.
So you were doing your own surveillance?
Yes.
It sounded a little odd. Maybe KC had just seen too many crime movies. But if he had, then he'd probably know cops don't miss little details like, well, like this.
He's sitting across the table from me. He's wearing a short sleeve shirt. He has jeans on and sandals. And instantly I can see he has scratches on both his arms. He's got a scratch across his forehead from his hairline to his eye.
How'd you get all these scratches on you?
We go to Eisenhower Park all the time.
Uh-huh.
Or now you go exactly, you go, we pick up by the pond.
Uh-huh.
We pick up fishing lines all the time. You go there, fishing lines.
Those are from fishing
lines? No, I'm ready to explain.
KC explained he was walking the dogs when he saw a fishing line in a bush. Worrying about the ducks in the park getting caught in the line, he reached in to remove it and got all those scratches.
You've been around long enough, you can tell the difference between scratches that a person might get, you know, reaching into a bush or from an animal, and scratches that somebody would get during an actual fight with another person.
Right. And some of the scratches on his arms did look like scratches that would be from something other than fingernails. But there was one particular set of scratches on his right bicep that, to me, clearly looked like scratches from a hand.
And that says to you he was in a fight?
It does.
When was the last time you guys had any sort of an argument?
Actually, that Thursday.
This Thursday?
That was the last night anyone saw Maribel, the night she was caught on camera paying the rent, which, KC said, was what they were arguing about.
What would happen?
Rent money.
Tell me about that.
Because I'm supposed to move out.
It turned out KC had recently lost his job and could no longer pay his share of the rent. Maribel had asked him to move out. That was reason for concern, of course. And so was this. Detective Ramirez had learned about the 911 call Maribel had made 11 days before she disappeared. And he knew that in that call, the man Maribel said she might have to kill was KC Joy.
His full name is Quan Chul, but what I understand is Quan Chul Joy.
Now, weren't the police out to your house recently because you guys had an argument?
We've been drinking quite a bit that night. And she started yelling at me.
KC said it was all just a drunken misunderstanding.
I don't like you. I'm not attracted to you. She starts screaming and yelling. I said, Maribel, we had a great time tonight. What's the problem?
What was the problem? Detective Ramirez heard from Maribel's family something very interesting. Casey Joy had wanted to be more than just roommates with Maribel Ramos. Lucy told us the same thing.
When did it become apparent to you that Casey sort of had a crush on your sister?
Yeah, he called me and then he just says, I'm like in love with your sister. So I was like, oh, this is great.
Because you knew that your sister wasn't in love with him.
Yes, and that's a bad situation. So at that point, I'm like, okay, Casey, you know, you're a good man, and I'm sure you'll find somebody out there for you, but...
But it's not going to be her.
Yeah.
Now, the woman Casey had told Lucy he wanted had told him that not only did she not love him, but he had to basically get out of her life. Despite that, Casey continued talking with police.
Mr. Joy was being cooperative.
He was.
Talking to officers, let you guys take stuff out of the house.
He did.
And never showed up with a lawyer.
He did not.
Doesn't sound like that did a lot to set aside your suspicions.
No, he didn't.
Suspicions, sure. But no proof a crime had even occurred. Maribel Ramos was missing. That's all anyone knew.
Ready, sir?
And so, right. Casey Joy walked out of that police station, like all the other men in Maribel's life, a free man.
He knew a lot more than he was telling us.
Finally, the clue they'd been waiting for. And you won't believe how they got it.
No one had searched there.
No.
But he's looking at it.
Yes.
Days were ticking by, and still no Maribel. Forensic results were coming in. DNA, fingerprints, cell phone data. None of it adding up to anything that told the cops what had happened to her. So police were looking at the usual suspects, like her boyfriend, Paul Lopez. Lopez works for the gas company and goes from call to call in a company truck. The GPS on that truck puts him nowhere near the city of Orange, on the night Maribel was seen on that security video. That is, until about midnight. Lopez told police that's when he went home. He said he was alone and could prove it.
My parking spot's actually right by a surveillance camera.
So the surveillance camera would show you parking?
That was enough to get Lopez off the list. There was that ex-boyfriend who'd been calling. Maribel had never mentioned he'd been a problem, and police didn't think he was involved. There was the photographer from the website Plenty of Fish. His cell phone data placed him in San Diego, out of the area at the time in question. And the veteran from Cal State who'd come on too strong? He was in Japan. None of them could be connected to Maribel's disappearance. So in the end, there was just one person the cops couldn't stop looking at. The first person to report Maribel missing. Her roommate, Casey Joy.
Orange Police Dispatcher Rose.
Oh, this is not an emergency. And I have a roommate, she's 36 years old, and she didn't come home last night.
He was also the last to see her alive.
I felt she most likely was dead. I felt that there was a high probability Mr. Joy was responsible for it, and he knew a lot more than he was telling us.
So Detective Ramirez became Casey Joy's shadow, appearing in the morning and then later by moonlight. Hours after Casey's first police interview, a cheerful Joey Ramirez showed up at his house.
Hey, Casey, how are you? Can we come in?
He brought a voice recorder and a few more questions.
How are you this morning?
All right.
Good, good, good.
Detective Ramirez already knew the answers to some of them.
So when you say work, she works at...
Fullerton.
Cal State Fullerton?
And to some, he didn't.
Did you have any marks on your legs or anything? Okay, well, let me just ask you. Do you have any injuries on your legs? You have no injuries on your legs whatsoever?
No, I don't have any.
Okay.
Casey Joy was willing to talk repeatedly without an attorney.
This is Bree. Bree, this is Casey. Very cooperative with us.
Got
passing movie. Now you can take this and pick up fingerprints.
He says to you, oh, I've seen this movie, and now you're going to take my fingerprints. He's like a pro. He's seen it all.
He's being very relaxed. I felt that he was very confident that we weren't going to figure it out.
What Mr. Joy apparently didn't know was that other officers were watching him 24/7. The surveillance teams noticed he was spending a lot of time at the public library, and he was using the computers there, probably because police had taken away his phone and Maribel's computer, which was the one KC normally used.
Initially, we would have undercover policemen go into the library, walk around him, see what he's doing. And at one point, he's seen Googling, can a cell phone be tracked if it's turned off?
Well, that's certainly suspicious.
It is.
Detective Ramirez was consulting daily with Orange County Deputy District Attorney Scott Simmons.
There are things that can be called into question, but they're not immediately proof of anything.
Exactly, and that's why we didn't arrest him right away.
Police needed to see exactly what KC Joy was doing on those library computers. That would require a very unusual plan. They obtained a search warrant allowing them to watch, in real time, every move made on the computer. This is a recording of KC's actual computer keystrokes and mouse clicks. That's KC checking his email. That's KC applying for a job. That's KC typing in, how long does it take a body to decay? Suspicious maybe, but not enough. And then he did this.
He pulled up a Facebook page that showed there was going to be an awareness walk in the near future.
A walk to help find Maribel.
It was. He Google mapped that park and zoomed in onto it. He then panned out, navigated over about 8 to 10 miles.
This area that he was zeroing in on, was it an area that had crossed your field of vision at all?
No.
Here, KC is Google mapping a place that no one had searched. Watch as he zooms in to that area with the tree.
That tree didn't figure in the investigation in any way?
Not in any stretch of the imagination.
And no one had searched there?
No.
And no reason for that to be in the paper or anywhere else?
No. I mean, it's out in a remote canyon location.
But he's looking at it?
Yes. Yes.
By the time KC was walking out of the library that afternoon, police were already headed to that tree. Another startling discovery.
This is way off the beaten path. We didn't know what to think.
And the suspect speaks. Hear from KC Joy himself.
Are you dangerous?
Me? I'm the perfect, most honest guy there is.
As he dug deeper into KC Joy's background, Detective Joey Ramirez found more and more evidence that KC was infatuated, even obsessed, with Maribel Ramos. For instance, the time Maribel told KC he was too old for her, and he responded by getting plastic surgery.
$12,000 later, he's got a different face.
Correct.
And he says the reason he got it is because of the woman who's missing.
Correct.
Now, here was KC at the public library, Google mapping a remote wilderness area. Since the dawn of detective novels, killers have returned to the scene of the crime. But these days, there's no need for the bad guy to even get in his car. Now, it can be done with the click of a mouse. The good guys still have to do it the old-fashioned way. Detective Sean Hayden got the call on the radio. Drive out to rustic Majeska Canyon, southeast of the city of Orange.
We didn't know what to think. This is a very rural area. No one would be out here mountain biking or hiking. This is way off the beaten path.
At the other end of the two-way radio, Detective Brian Stanley was re-watching KC's Google search, trying to give Detective Hayden better directions. KC focused on an intersection and then moved over to the tree.
In the center of the shot, there's one tree that looks like a bush out in the middle of the wash. So I told him to look for that tree and then in the wash from that area.
Hayden and his partner found the tree, then moved off the road and past the barbed wire fence And then they knew they were close.
As we were kind of trekking through this brush here, the first and foremost thing we found was an overwhelming smell of like a decaying body or something dead. And my partner and I kind of turned our head and we looked over and we saw this kind of shallow gravesite.
At long last, there she was.
One of the detectives called and said, "Joe, you're not going to believe this. We found her."
Maribel Ramos had been left alone in that dusty canyon since before anyone knew she was missing. Now Ramirez knew it was time for one last meeting with Casey Joy.
Well, thanks for coming down here voluntarily. I really appreciate it.
If you're going to give me a ride back to the library, then I'll have to walk. I'll have to call it.
Ramirez didn't tell Casey that Maribel had been found. He just tried for the final time to get Casey to be the one who would say what had happened.
Casey, I think that you have the answers in your heart, that you do, and that you should share them.
So once again, Casey Joy walked out of the interview room. He didn't get far. This time, he was arrested and charged with the murder of Maribel Ramos, the woman he had loved who had not loved him. When he was taken into custody, Casey Joy was wearing Maribel's dog tags. Casey Joy pleaded not guilty, and in July 2014, a year after Maribel vanished, he went on trial for her murder.
It's Maribel Ramos. Maribel is no longer with us.
The prosecution laid out the evidence against KC, the unrequited love, the scratches, the 911 call, and finally the computer searches.
He's wondering, how close is Maribel's body to where they're doing that awareness search? That's why he goes to Google Maps.
It was murder. The defense pointed out there was no DNA, fingerprints, cell phone info, or standard forensic evidence that tied KC Joy to Maribel's murder or to the crime scene.
We don't know what happened. What kind of force was used? Nobody knows. Who used it first? Nobody knows. Was there a weapon used? Was it used by Maribel or was it used by Casey Joy? Nobody knows.
All true, but the computer searches were enough for the jury.
We, the jury, in the above entailed action, find the defendant, Quancho Joy, guilty of the crime of felony to wit.
Casey Joy was convicted of second-degree murder. After which, he told me, the jury got it wrong.
Are you dangerous?
Me? I'm the perfect, most honest guy there is, and most trustworthy. I'm a gentleman.
Casey says he wants a new trial to prove he couldn't have killed Maribel, his, quote, best friend.
You had a crush on her.
Nope, we are absolutely not. It was, I always maintained that we are platonic friends.
You never told Lucy that you had a crush on her.
Nope, I never said that.
Never said you were in love with her.
Nope, never said that either.
You weren't obsessed with her.
Nope, I was not obsessed with her.
The plastic surgery? His choice, he says, not done for Maribel. And the computer search of the area where Maribel's body was found? Casey says he didn't do it. Someone else did, by remotely accessing the same computer right after he had used it.
You don't think that's quite a coincidence?
It may be a coincidence, but I didn't do it.
You're being framed here?
I say yes. If I had a paid attorney, somebody like O.J. Simpson had it, I won't be here right now. I'd be out.
So the problem here is not that you're guilty, it's that you don't have enough money.
Exactly. It seems like money talks. If you had money, I would not be here.
Casey Joy was sentenced to 15 years to life for killing Maribel Ramos.
What do you think happened?
I think she went to bed. And I think what he did is he got a pillow and smothered her. And as he's got this pillow over her face, she struggles a little bit. And I believe that's where he got the scratches on his right tricep.
If Mr. Joy hadn't done that Google Maps search leading you essentially to the body, would he be a free man?
If no other evidence came up, yes.
He'd be a person of interest in a cold case.
Correct.
Maribel Ramos graduated from college posthumously. Her niece Giselle, whom Maribel had always hoped would follow in her footsteps, instead ended up walking the path meant for her aunt.
I received her diploma and I got to sit in her seat and walk up stage and receive everything.
It was so difficult to be there. It was difficult to see my daughter in such pain, walking for her aunt.
Maribel Ramos, we lost this gal a couple years ago. She was an Army veteran.
Twice a month in Orange, they lower the flag for the fallen who served. But Maribel has a legacy. Giselle seems well on her way to becoming the successful woman Maribel had hoped for. Your mom says that you've sort of been the rock.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't have made it through this without you.
Yes.
Where'd you get that toughness?
From her.
From Maribel?
Yeah.